Bluegrass Junction broadcasting live from Merlefest, backstage at the Burger King Artist Hospitality Tent with an incredible set from the Whites right there. And I noticed a bunch of guest stars up there joining the Whites, and one of them was Jerry Douglas, who is now sitting with us. Welcome, Jerry.
I get around.
You do. You do. I see you on stage all the time with your magic dobro.
I've been up there a few times this weekend. It's no different than any other year.
We were just talking about, now, of course, a lot of people might not know this, but you were with the Whites for a number of years, actually.
I played with the Whites for almost 8 years, yeah. They're like family to me, man. They're wonderful people.
And what we were looking at today, it looks like they have an age limit on the dobro player. You get to be like 26 or 7, you got to move on.
Josh Matheny's playing dobro with him now, and he's 20 years old and going to Belmont College in Nashville. And when I started with them, I was 22. So, I guess there is a moratorium on 30-year-old dobro players in that band. Yeah. You're out, 30.
Well, they, here at Merlefest, they like to work you, and I don't know if they work anybody harder than you.
It's not bad this year. It has been in the past. You know, I was running a race with Sam Bush to see who could be on stage for the most minutes.
Yeah, at the same time sometimes.
Sometimes at the same time, yeah. But, it's getting easier. There are a lot of bands. There are a lot more people to play up there, and it's a wonderful place to be. But it's getting easier for me. It is, I got to say.
Yeah. Now, how did getting together with the Whites come about? What brought that about?
Well, I knew them. I'd met them at a festival in Asheville, over in Asheville, North Carolina, Black Mountain, in like 1973, and hit it off with them. And they had a banjo player with them at the time, and I said, well, you know, I really like what you guys do, so you know, if I ever get loose, I might hit you up for a job. And then I was with Boone Creek at the time, and Boone Creek exploded, and I went back with the Country Gentleman for a little while, and I gave myself a year. I said, if I don't get something going in a year that I really like doing, I'm just going to get out of the business. And about 8 months into that, Buck White called, and I dropped everything. They came to Virginia, moved me and my wife and all my furniture and everything in an ice storm to Nashville. And, you know, so I guess I was in it from there on out. You know, there was no turning back, but it was 8 years of some of the sweetest music that I've ever had a chance to play.
Yeah. Boy, you like those storms, huh? The last time we visited, you were at XM, came in to play a nice gig, and there was a snowstorm in Nashville that day.
Oh, yeah. My wife had just run off the road. I had a cell phone. I'm in a car talking to her on the cell phone, and she had just run off the road into about 6 feet of snow, and I'm saying, was everything okay? And then she's going, I gotta go. And the line went dead, and no cell phone action in Nashville for about 6 hours.
Because everyone else had run off the road.
Yeah,
too.
Everybody was off the road. Yeah, if they think it's going to snow in Nashville, they close schools. So, you know, that's how it goes down there. They don't have the equipment to take care of it. So, but things got better. Things got better since then. Everything's fixed. No more snow.
Yeah,
it's great.
I think the last time that we did a record interview, we were talking about Look Out for Hope.
That's right. Yeah, it's a year old today.
And what is Look Out for Hope? What was that?
Look Out for Hope is actually a song written by Bill Frisell, a good friend of mine and a jazz guitar player who's just amazing. And I did a record with him called Nashville, where he came to Nashville and got a lot of people to play on his record, just his tunes and his, you know, thrown at us to see what we would do with him. And Victor Krause was on the record, and a lot of other people from Union Station. But Victor and I went on a little tour with Bill, and we were playing up at St. Catherine's Cathedral in New York City. We were playing a gig there, and he just kind of threw this tune out at me that night. See, you know, and I've never heard it before, and I just loved it. And I said, "Man, it's like all the wrong notes, you know, over the wrong chord." And I love it. I gotta have it. So I recorded it, and I thought, you know, it's a good title too. So I used it.
I think it's inspirational. At first I went, "Look out for hope." I gotta think on this one for a while.
Yeah, look out for hope. It's sort of double. You can take it any way you want to, but sort of look out for it. If you're feeling really bad and you don't want to feel better, then you better look out for hope.
Yeah. And then there's another interesting song title, Patrick Meets the Brickbats.
Yeah, Patrick meets the Brickbats. You know, these are all instrumentals, so you have to make up these little stories and vignettes, you know, to go with them to make any sense. You have to be thinking about something as you're listening to these songs. So Patrick meets the Brickbats is a brickbat is actually, you know, something you break bricks with, or truck drivers use them to check their tires and things
snack
like that.
Snack on the wheels.
Yeah, it's something, you know, it's like a billy club kind of a thing. But I imagined a brickbat as like a flying, you know, bat with a brick, you know, who could, and it could drop it at any time. So I thought, you know, I'm nuts.
What's the craziest thing you ever made up for all your instrumental songs?
Probably that could be
Patrick
it.
Patrick meets the Brickbats.
That one, or Ankara at Izmir about the bus trip out across Turkey. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Patrick meets the Brickbats is a good stretch. So.
Now, is that the one where Edgar Meyer tries to get his base into Turkey, and they think they it goes through customs? And
Yeah. They searched. They wanted to take Edgar's base apart that was built in like 1679. You know, and we're going, no, you can't do that. You know, and somehow somebody. Good intentions they had, but there was an intervention and saved the base. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Interesting. Now, what year was that you got to go to Turkey?
I've been to Turkey three times. The last time I guess was in '96. Yeah. Wonderful place.
What's your thought about what's been going on over there now? I mean, it's pretty interesting.
Well, yeah. I think they're kind of caught in the middle. I don't know. There's this whole Kurds. Turkey thing. I don't know. That's kind of strange to me. I really don't know what to think about it. I know some people that are Kurds. I know some people that, you know, are just, you know, not Kurds. And that's some, you know, it's another one of those things. I don't know if they'll ever get along.
Yeah. Was Iraq a big influence in what was the atmosphere when you were traveling around? Was Saddam Hussein an influence in the
atmosphere?
Not
at all. Not at all. When we were over there, no, there was no mention of it, of him or anybody else. The first time I went over, it was Iran that was the big problem because they had our hostage. It was during the hostage thing. And we actually were in Karachi, Pakistan, waiting for a plane to leave. And they took our plane to go pick up. It was one of the times when they said, okay, we're going to let him go. So they took our plane to go get him. And they didn't let him go. But, you know, world events. My God, what are you going to do?
Well, we queued up a cut off the new Merlefest Live album. And it is Patrick Meets the Brickbats from last year.
Oh, boy. I mixed this record, actually, a record DVD now it is. But Bill Vorndick and I, an engineer, we took all the tapes and mixed this whole thing down to use it for this DVD. And it came out amazingly well. I'm really proud of it at this point. Yeah. I haven't heard Patrick Meets the Brickbats yet, though.
Shall we share it with him?
I'm afraid, but I think we have to.
Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, Feldman.
Jerry Douglas.
And thank you for having us here at the festival again this year. You people are... I've never seen anything like you. And I mean that in a positive way. We'll leave you with this one. This is called Patrick Meets the Brickbats. Nice title. Thank you.
Alrighty, friends. Back live at Merle Fest 2003, broadcasting from the Burger King Artist Hospitality Tent backstage. And we're having a wonderful time. We thank Jerry Douglas for stopping by. Patrick meets the Brickbats.
I'll see you. I gotta go fly.
Okay. And well, it looks like we're about ready to go up to the main stage again, the Watson stage, appropriately named because the next act features the one and only Doc Watson. Still to come tonight, the Sam Bush Band, Hot Rye, well, Hot Rye is coming up soon. Sam Bush Band, Tim O'Brien and Daryl Scott, Del McCurry, and Ricky Skaggs, and Kentucky Thunder. So that's where we stand at this point. We thank you for keeping it right here on Bluegrass Junction on the XM Satellite Radio Network. Let's see. It's hard to see. You know, the trees have grown. Since where we sit here last year backstage in the tent, we could see the stage real well, and now the trees have grown up, a year's growth. We need to get the hedge trimmers out and work on it a little bit there so we can see a little better.